All right, so then he moves on then to now directly tie this to God, right? The good intentions of God. And he says the moral intentions of human beings created in the image of God are merely a reflection of the framework by which God himself is morally constituted. In other words, all of God's actions proceed from his thoughts, his motives, his purposes, his heart's desires, right? That's the way God operates, and so that's the way we operate. And he says, it is here that we find the conundrum of God's moral culpability, for evil must clearly, be resolved here. It is impossible for God to have evil intentions for the evil that he sovereignly ensures will transpire. There's no contradiction, he says, in saying that God decrees that which he otherwise hates, right? And so, what's the conundrum? Well, the conundrum here is that God doesn't have any evil desires, and yet he wills or he decrees evil, and yet he doesn't have any evil desires. So how do we resolve that particular issue? Right. So doing evil is a result of the intentions of our hearts. Our hearts are evil, and therefore that's why evil happens. God decrees evil as part of his plan, but God doesn't have any evil intentions of his heart.
Desires, right. Yeah. Right. Yeah, so it's almost a kind of a two-tiered system. It's a meta argument. So our evil intentions are evil, or our evil actions are evil because our intentions are evil. God kind of looks down from above, and he decrees those things. He says this will take place, but he himself isn't of that same category. So his decrees, whether active or inactive or passive, they're done by creatures that have a distinct, a separate type of will, a will that
an evil
geared,
heart
that is geared towards evil, right?
Yeah.
But God doesn't have that, and so he is able to make those decisions without being evil. And so, is this special pleading? Right. Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Because God is special. He's
because
different.
He is transcendent.
Yeah.
And he's solo in that. So very much special.
Right. And so that's what he says. Right. God decrees evil only if he can establish some good and weighty reason for its occurrence,
right,
that could come no other way, right? And so he decrees evil, but he uses it for good here is what he's getting at, yeah, right?
And so he does say, like, it pleased him to crush the messianic servant, putting him to grief, Isaiah 53:10.
Mm.
So he's able to be pleased by that evil because it's the ultimate form, expression of evil in the world. But why does that please him? Because out of it, he saves his creation. He is the source of that. And so he is able to be pleased in that evil action. His decree of it was good and well-intentioned and flowed from a heart and a desire that is only good.
Right.
He utilized evil beings to accomplish that. So even more so, an amazing feature. So he says, rather, delight stems from unsearchable riches of good and necessarily came from the disposition of the Father towards his beloved Son. Those riches are found in the wondrous work of redemption of both the chosen people and the whole of the cursed cosmos. I think also this is why God delights in his creation, because it's a manifestation of his character, of his work, of his power, of his giving of life, of his sustainability, of his making beings in the image of God. You know, why is it even more so good? Why when man is created, it's even more so? Because it's tied to the character and nature of God. And so that's what we see the pinnacle at the cross.
Right, right.